The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the Accent Radio Network or the staff, management, and sponsors of this radio station.
You are listening to the December 2nd edition, 2006, of Tech Watch Radio. Welcome to the broadcast, my fellow Americans. My name is Sam Bushman. Jedediah Harrison alongside for the ride. We're talking tech, ladies and gentlemen, every week on your favorite station. That's, of course, terrestrial radio station around the country in America. And live on the internet as well at accentradio.com. Not to mention the fact that you can download archived broadcasts anytime that suits your lifestyle. Simply go to audiocanyon.com to get that done, audiocanyon.com. And the best part about that is, hey, you got MP3 files, no copyrights or anything like that. We encourage you to share them with your friends. No fees for that. It's just free. Just one of the ways we say thanks for listening. And audiocanyon.com is where you can get that done. We've got the last, 10, 12 shows, Jay?
I think there's 9 or 10 up there, yeah.
We've been doing the show for quite a while, but we haven't had it in podcast format for a long time. Before, we had it just in our own MP3 downloadable files, but then we converted it to podcast format and stuff like that about 10 shows, 12 shows ago. So please download archived shows and share them with your friends, audiocanyon.com. Well, a bunch of stuff's in the news, speaking of free MP3s, or not-so-free MP3s, so to speak. All of MP3.com is a Russian website, and they were offering MP3 files for sale. And, the copyright enthusiasts, and I would say basically the media mafia in America and other places, just had an absolute cow about this. And what happened was they just got so belligerent because, their attitude is, hey, you can't sell an MP3 because it's not digitally, copyrighted or digitally controlled, digital right managed, so to speak. And the all of MP3 people said, listen, people are legitimately buying this music. And, if you sell a CD, somebody can rip it to MP3 and use it anyway. And, yeah, but we don't need to facilitate that, said the belligerent copyright folks. Long story short, all of MP3 was doing okay and didn't shut down. They were fighting. Well, long story short, a bunch of credit card companies said, hey, we're not gonna let you use our processing technology to receive the funds. So all of MP3 said, fine, you guys are going to be that way. We'll just give MP3s away. Well, anyway, the latest incarnations of this was that all of MP3 started saying, hey, you know what? We're just going to continue. And the credit card company said, fine, we're going to stop you. Then they said, we're going to give stuff away for free. As that battle continues, the latest we heard now is Russia says they're going to, or they've agreed to shut down the site entirely. And to me, this is a sad day. I shouldn't say in America, but around the world. Now, I don't support violating of copyrights. I don't support digitally stealing music. I don't support, huge download sites for free music violating artists' rights or whatever you want to say to music. However, you know what? I also don't like the digital copyright folks locking me down to where I can't even use my music. A friend of ours uses iTunes. Bought a bunch of music on iTunes, to the tunes of hundreds of bucks. Was that a good pun on words, to the tune? iTunes of 100 bucks, huh? All right. Anyway, and so he had this great music collection, but he had switched computers somehow or something, and virtually his collection was gone, right, Jay?
Yeah, that's right. He switched from PC to Mac and couldn't move his collection, really.
Okay, and you know what? That, to me, is a serious problem because, listen, he already paid for it. And now we come back to somebody would say, well, Sam, you never owned the music. You just had the right to listen to it while you continued to pay to play, so to speak. My whole problem with that is it's a completely different model than what we've had before. I think the guy should have just simply bought CDs. He should have ripped all of his CD tracks to MP3. He should have duplicated his CDs so that he'd have one to listen to in the car. And he could save the original somewhere for safekeeping, play the MP3s, play his copied or duplicated CD in his car, etc. And Then he would have been in good shape, Jay. But anyway, the sad part is the battle plays out here, and anybody who's supporting anything free, anything open, anything usable is getting shut down, and it's growing, not decreasing.
That's right. The problem with one of the reasons why I know that he didn't do that is because a lot of times you can't get stuff right away. I mean, if you order a CD, one, you got to track it down either on eBay if you want to buy it used, or well, even new stuff, or Amazon or something like that. You got to, you know, go purchase it. You got to wait a couple of days. And he's kind of like Sam. You know, Sam used to not like to buy stuff online because he didn't want to wait and stuff for it. So, you know,
in this case, though, buying things online would mean you don't wait, right? Buying it at the store means you have to wait.
Right, exactly. So he wanted to buy stuff online, and also he wanted sometimes iTunes library is really huge. I mean, they've got some stuff that would be very hard to find in stores or sometimes even online. So, you know, he just bought stuff, and it seems like little bits. You know, you just buy a dollar here, a dollar there, but it adds up, and he had hundreds of dollars worth of stuff that he got lost.
And, you know, they've got to create a way to create a fine balance. Again, if I share a CD with you to listen to, Jay, you listen to it for a little bit and then give it back. Even if I give you an MP3 file and you put it in your collection and listen to it, the likelihood of you liking that group, liking that singer, and eventually buying something because I shared with you, so to speak, is greater than you just never buying any music because I give it to you all for free.
I would agree.
I mean, history has proven that. And the record labels were absolutely crazy about, you know, cassette tapes coming out because they're like, hey, this is the first time you can just basically record anything you want to off the radio. Our sales of music are absolutely dead. Well, they were dead wrong. And now, sure, it's easier, and I agree it does cut into some sales, but it also exposes people to music and content that they would never have, never utilize, never experience in the first place. And I think it's a positive move, not a negative move. You also look at radio. Hey, any radio station has to pay to play music. And my attitude is, man, if you're a popular radio station, you're popularizing this music and giving this artist a chance to shine, so to speak. And, man, without that, you wouldn't. It's amazing you have to pay to help an artist become somebody these days. And then, you know, then you got this what's called payola, and if you take money to play certain songs in your playlist more, then it's an illegal activity. And it's just amazing how these record labels, these copyright fanatics, I mean, I support copyrights. Don't misunderstand me, folks. I love the free market. I love my ability as an American to produce something and have it protected. I understand that. But they've gone way, way, way too far. And the latest tragedy in my mind is all of MP3.com going to be shut down. But I went there today, and it's still up. So there you go. Hold on, crew. This is Tech Watch Radio. I'm Sam. He's Jay, and we're talking tech on ARN. If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Does your business depend on emails? Are you constantly in correspondence with your business partners? Last question. If you lost some of the emails or files due to unreliable servers or to viruses, would you get stressed? Yeah, I thought so. There's a company, Swishmail, that helps take that worry and anxiety out of everyday business life. Sound good? Listen to this. They not only do email and web hosting, and do them well, but they also provide you with a domain name and webmail with many features that are compatible with Netscape, Outlook, Eudora, and more. Their spam and antivirus scanning is top-notch, and if you ever have a problem, their tech support is friendly, knowledgeable, and ready to help. Swishmail will make sure those things that other companies deal with and worry about aren't going to be your worries. Go to swishmail.com and check out what they can do for you. You'll soon agree. They are the total email solution. That's swishmail.com.
Archives of the broadcast available always, downloadable for free in MP3 format, ladies and gentlemen, at audiocanyon.com. You are listening to TechWatch Radio. We talk tech every week on your favorite listening device and or radio station. And best of all, we keep it simple, folks. Our goal to bring tech to your imagination in a sense that, hey, we want to bring tech to the kitchen table. Make tech and your understanding come together. A lot of times people think tech is complicated, and I agree the inner workings sometimes are complicated, but you know what? For mere mortals, tech is actually fairly easy if you just don't get scared of it, if you just, you know, dive in, realize that, you know what, you really can't create too much damage, and it's kind of fun. And after you gain a skill or two here, then you can apply it there, and before you know it, you're kind of a tech wizard, so to speak. Experts tackle tech education woes at MITJ. Now, this is kind of an interesting story. They say improving the technology skills of the U.S. workforce requires looking for talent in unlikely places like junior colleges and engaging teachers in education reform, a panel of experts said. Now, I'm just thinking those guys are brilliant, Jay. Don't you think that took like some experts to get to that?
If we reform
the way we teach, and if we look at colleges, hey, we might find, like, you know, tech talent.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious, don't you think?
I mean, I just find it comical. You really want to know, I'm going to give you an unorthodox but factual tech tip. Are you ready? If you want talent, if you want tech-capable people, I'm not telling you they can't be trained and go to school and everything, because they can. But I'm telling you, the best tech people are the self-taught people that have a flourish for it, that have a love for it, that have a knack for it, that have a desire for it, that just somehow, they're just techie. Okay? I learned 99% of my tech skills because I like the stuff, because I play with it, because I'm not afraid of it, because I get after it, because I work for people in tech. Okay? And I'm telling you, the best tech people are just like that. Wouldn't you say, Jay?
Oh, I definitely agree. People, you'll see people that have an aptitude toward those kind of things. I mean, you know, if they like programming their VCR when they're kids, or they like, you know, setting up things, playing with, like, Legos and constructs and, what's the other one I'm thinking of? The erector sets, things like that. The, you know, the engineering kind of things, the technology kind of things. They like, you know, so to speak, hacking things and getting the most out of them and using it for new applications.
I'll give you an example.
They like playing with telephones, things like that. I mean, you'll see that people have that kind of aptitude, and I think that it would be good to be able to see that early on and be able to cultivate that.
Now, let me give you an example. I was given a computer in the very beginning because they said, Sam, as a blind person, you know what? You won't be able to write very well with a pen or a pencil. I mean, you can write, but you can't write in straight lines. It won't be your mode of communication, really. You'll need to learn to type. And then that was before computers. You know, then when computers came out, they said, you know what, Sam? They've got computers that will speak to you and read you your screen. It'll just be a boom for you. And then as time went on, they said, you know what, Sam? You'll be able to read books. You'll be able to scan them and convert them with OCR packages. And you'll be able to read books and stuff. And so they said, Sam, you really need to get into computers. And they gave me a computer. I'll tell you the rest of the story in seconds. But I just want to tell these MIT people and all these supposed educational experts how they can get, like, you know, tech talent. That'd, like, be really helpful, huh? Hold on, crew. This is TechWatch Radio on your favorite listening device. So the headline reads, ladies and gentlemen, experts tackle tech education woes at MIT. And they've come up with this brilliant idea. They say, hey, we need more tech talent in the United States. And, you know, we got to look in unlikely places, such as, like, you know, junior colleges. And, hey, we got to teach teachers to really, like, teach and reform teaching and stuff. And I'm thinking, man, that took like an MIT study. These guys are off their rockers. The reality is, if you want tech savvy people, you got to look at people who love tech and people who just intuitively get tech. And find those people, and then you can add training to them, maybe, sure. But the example that I have, so I got this computer because they said, Sam, as a blind person, it'll really help you in your life, man. It will. You'll just be able to read and write and do all kinds of nifty things. And I got a computer, And people showed me some of the basics, you know, hey, here's some of these extra keys like the Alt and Control keys and function keys. That's different than a normal typewriter, Sam. And, you know, here's your software. Anyway, I'm not saying that I didn't get some basics from somebody to get started, but it wasn't but a couple of months until I did forgot more about computers than most people that tried to get me started will ever know. Why? Because, buddy, I played with that thing. I loaded games on that thing. I installed and uninstalled things. I crashed it and I rebooted it, buddy. And I, you know, the list just went on and on of the things I did with that computer. And I'm not telling you I'm the greatest tech guy in the world, but, buddy, I'm so far along in tech that I can't remember yesterday stuff that people will never learn in their entire lives about tech. Because the more you learn about tech, you learn concepts, you learn principles, you learn adaptable knowledge sets that even though I can't remember, you know, the latest tech item I did yesterday, I have the savvy. I have the moxie. I have the ability to apply that skill to the next tech issue that confronts me. And that's the key. A lot of times people can be taught to repeat steps 1 through 10, you know, but a lot of people cannot be taught to apply steps 1 through 10 to 15 other situations that are slightly different.
That's right.
Or after a while, drastically different, but the concepts are the same. An example is troubleshooting networking. Listen, networking is simple. It's built up of blocks, and you got to divide and conquer. You learn that in programming, and you learn that in troubleshooting. And if you divide and conquer, you're in good shape. You just take a piece on at a time, and you start basically closest to you and work away from you. So if I say, my computer can't see Jay's computer. Mine's in Utah, his is in Florida. I don't say, well, golly, what's broken in the middle? I say, hey, can my computer communicate with the next device over? If it can, good. Next issue. If it can't, why? You know, and you just got to do that. And I'm just saying that's very hard to teach. Some people understand these abstract concepts and others don't. And so I'm just here to tell the MIT folks, if they really want a tech tip from, quote, an expert, a self-taught one, if you really want tech-savvy people, you really want people who have the moxie, the desire, etc., to become tech talent to increase the tech workforce in America or increase Americans' technological capabilities through education, you got to find those who have a knack for it. And I submit to you, it's finding those who are self-taught computer people who, hey, a little bit of education could, you know, it could take them a long way. In fact, I had a lot of friends that used to work at Novell and WordPerfect and stuff like that in my younger years. And most of the people who were the best at Novell were self-taught people. Now, I'm not telling you they didn't take some Novell certifications later. They did, and I'm not saying education's bad. I'm just telling you that that's got to be added to somebody who has a natural aptitude or the tech-savvy guy or gal, so to speak, to get that done. So it's kind of an interesting thing, but that's where they need to look. They need to look at the hobbyist, at the gamers, at you know, that kind of thing. Let me just ask you, for basketball, where do they get some of the best basketball players? And the answer is, hey, man, on the city basketball street, right? Got a bunch of guys playing over at school in the downtown suburb of somewhere and stuff like that. Hey, that guy's good. Before you know it, you give him some opportunities. Isn't that kind of how it happens in basketball and boxing and some of these other sports? I just submit to you that it's very similar when it comes to computers and tech. I mean, you find the guys that are hacking their Xboxes. You find the guys that in the yesteryear were hacking telephone systems and playing with telephone systems because it was fun. Or you find the guy that pulls apart this gadget because he thinks it's neat and he thinks he can put it together better. So what if he leaves a few screws out? If the thing works, right? Okay, he's got the savvy. He's got the desire. He's got that interest. And I'm just telling you, when people have an interest for something, they excel. And so a lot of people can be taught a lot of skills. I'm not suggesting that if you're not tech savvy that you can't progress, because you can. But you're not going to progress like the guy who has a natural, creative aptitude and a desire for the industry. Jay, you've got a friend who's trying to learn some about tech too, right?
Yeah, I've got several friends and that are, you know, they're taking classes for, you know, networking and things like that to further their career because of where they are. And, you know, they don't necessarily have an aptitude for tech, and it shows. I mean, they're trying and they're doing stuff, but they have to struggle through
it. And let's be fair, they're not horrible at tech.
No, but they have to remember things as a process and not so much as a concept, or learn the basics and move forward.
And when the next item comes for them, it's I hope I have a series of steps. I'm not looking forward to this kind of mode.
Right.
Whereas the guy who has an aptitude says, man, this is cool. Let me rip into this sucker. I can figure this out and conquer this dude.
Yeah, or, you know, they've just done it on their own, and when it comes up, hey, let's program this router or do something, they're, you know, if they haven't done it, they'll go off on their own and do it, you know, and do it to other items and different routers and different you know, operating systems and things like that, whereas the other guy will just want to learn the couple of steps to pass the test and move forward.
Yeah. But it's certainly interesting. Anyway, I wanted to bring up that story just because I believe I know where to find tech people, and I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to find them or how to find them. And I also know that, you know what, finding the people who have a desire for tech is one of the keys. And an example is when something goes wrong with a computer, sometimes the issue might be resolved, and most people want to move on. Sam says, I understand the issue is resolved, but, man, why is that like that? And I'll go on a little study binge, so to speak, just on my own on the internet or books that I have or manuals or anyway, and I'll try to find out why or what made that tick or what the change was or this or that just because I want to know. Why? Because next time I'll be that much smarter for the next issue. I had a professor in college that I dealt with for IT, and I didn't really like the classes that much, but I liked the consulting work that he fed me because he knew that I understood tech. And anyway, long story short, the guy said, you never learn from trial and right. In other words, if everything you do in tech just works out and it's always happening, you know, you don't have any trials or any troubles, and you don't learn from that.
I think
you
that
learn
carries
when things
over.
Don't go right, Jay.
That carries over to life. I mean, you really don't learn until you struggle through something and get it to work, you know, through tried and true methods and of trying, you know, in just the process of trial and error.
Yeah. Fascinating. But anyway, I just thought I'd give MIT, you know, I kind of like to give those collegiate folks a little bit of info, Jay. You know, just out of the kindness of my heart, help those educrats out a little bit. There you go. Tech, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fun thing. It's good for everybody. Everybody can learn, but some have the ability to learn it a little faster than the rest. It's called tech talent, moxie, savvy, whatever you want to call it. Some have it. Some struggle at it. But all of us can progress by listening to Tech Watch Radio on ARN. Back with you live, my fellow tech enthusiasts. I'm Sam, he's Jay. We're talking tech every week, kicking off every weekend right, talking tech all the time. Hopefully you're gearing up for your favorite tech gadgets for Christmas. One of these weeks we'll talk about what Jay and I want for Christmas. Maybe y'all want to get us a Christmas present or something, you know? Don't you think, Jay?
Yeah.
Let everybody give us some tech presents and stuff?
That would be great.
All right, we've got Scott Rothstein on the line, ladies and gentlemen, and he is the president of software995.com. Welcome to the broadcast, Scott.
Hi there, Sam. Hi, Jay.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
All right.
Now, hey, there's a lot of things going on. When I first heard about you guys and started using your software several years ago, there was pdf995.com, and you had basically knocked the socks off of the tech industry because all the PDF tools were incredibly expensive, hard to use. I mean, you had to be a rocket scientist to to utilize some of these distillers and tech tools to do PDF stuff. And not only did you guys make it as easy as printing by installing a PDF print driver, people could print and make PDF files, but you guys knocked the socks off the price too. 995 stands for $9.95 per single user copy, right?
That is right. Yeah, we've been around for about 5 years now, and we've gotten over 15 million downloads worldwide of the product.
Wow.
Yep.
But you really made PDF for the masses, though. I mean, you had to be basically a tech person to get PDFs done in the beginning.
I would say you're right. You know, if you search on Google these days, you will find that there are some other competitors. We kind of spawned a whole industry of less expensive PDF creation tools, but still, fortunately, we're the largest by probably a factor of 5 at this point.
Well, and I've downloaded several of the other ones, and they're not as simple. They have other issues. Your PDF rendering makes it as close to the real thing as possible. In other words, when you get the PDF, it's identical to what somebody had sent. Other ones don't do a lot of that. There's differences, too. I don't know,
no, I
first,
appreciate
best,
that.
Whatever you want to say.
Know, I think so, and you know, our customers think so. We probably have a business that's split halfway between small business users and individuals and enterprises. We've in the 5 years we've been around, and we're a small company, we have we have sold enterprise licenses to about 10,000 companies worldwide, and among them is, for instance, Ford Motors. They purchased 160,000 copies of the software from us. We've got Shell Oil. They purchased 180,000 copies, and several other, ranging from about 180,000 down to 25 copies.
So, now, the individual can buy just one copy if they go to pdf995.com.
That's right.
And download
a
simple print driver.
Product. And
go ahead, Scott.
They'll get really great service, too. If they ever have questions, they can send us email to our support address, and we're really quick to respond. We're proud of our support.
Now, one of the fascinating things, too, with the PDF 995 stuff is you started out with kind of a single user thing, but now you mentioned that you sell it to enterprise companies, but it works on terminal services. A lot of the other products can't get that done either.
That's right. Yeah, we've put a lot of effort into these things. We work in multi-user environments, and if you've got multiple computers, even in your home, you can set the product up as a shared network printer. And we've put a lot of work recently into making sure that we work on both 32-bit and 64-bit versions of Vista, which has just come out, as you know.
Was Vista easy to get it to work with, Scott?
Vista was a little bit tricky. Vista's got a lot of security changes built into the operating system, and we just had to be more careful about the way we call other processes and things of that nature. So I'm really excited about Vista.
A lot of that security is good, but some of it concerns me. If you just lock your computer down, if you turn it off, it's real secure.
Yep, that's right.
What I mean is there's a balance there, and sometimes it's frustrating. But I'm glad you guys have it ready.
I guess Microsoft really had to address this concern, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm glad you guys are ready to go is right when Vista's released. That's huge, too.
That's right. We've been working on it for a while.
Now, you started out with a PDF printer driver that could print PDF files, but then you expanded and have the ability to sign things digitally with signatures. You have the ability to add pages, delete pages from PDFs, combine PDFs. You've got a whole suite of PDF capabilities now, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's been a lot of work. And, all told, we're getting about 150,000 downloads a week of our products. And PDF edit is very popular these days. It allows people to rearrange the page orders, the page order of a PDF, extract page groups from them. It allows them to combine different PDFs into one, and it allows them to put bookmarks into the PDFs, create links in the PDFs. They can convert their Word documents to PDFs really quickly and easily, and maintain all the links and internal bookmarks and things of that nature.
I'm in the loan business as well, Scott. In addition to doing radio, I'm a loan officer. And what's interesting is a lot of times I scan 100 pages to a loan file, and all of a sudden you find out two pages stuck together and you're missing a page.
That's right.
Well, you can rescan that
PDF
dude and insert
it. Really, really good for that product, for that need.
Yeah, it's incredible. So PDF 995, ladies and gentlemen, PDF995.com. The 995 stands for it's $9.95 for a single user copy, and I'm sure they have corporate licensing and all that stuff too. One of the biggest successes, in addition to the incredible software that's easy to use, you folks have developed, Scott, is the fact that your software is reasonably priced. Mere mortals can buy it and use it.
Yeah, that's true. But there's something arguably even better, and the product is fully functional, even when you use the free version. I don't know if you're aware of this, but
yes, it pops up a web page as a reminder, but it lets you use the product
without
restriction.
That's right, but they can use it free, and even if you're using it for commercial purposes, you can still use the free version, and it will create perfect PDFs, and you can combine the PDFs, and you can extract them using PDF Edit. You can digitally sign them using Signature 995. You can encrypt them, and it's all free. We arguably pioneered this concept of that Google is pursuing right now, which is free software that's paid for via advertising.
I would agree with that because a lot of these people that have had some of these PDF print drivers that I had tested before, until you buy it, they leave a watermark or they leave their advertisement on the PDF itself. And this is the only product I know of that's fully functional. And, yes, it does pop up an ad if you haven't paid for it. But it's fully functional and leaves your PDF clean and without any kind of markings from the company, when it gets printed.
That's largely true. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, I think that's how we kind of built our business. We don't really have a marketing group or anything like that. We put this product out about 5 years ago on, I guess, on download.com and on 2Cows. And it was amazing what happened. It was absolutely amazing. More and more people started downloading it. And, you know, then they told others about our product. And it's all because of the free version. You know, in a way, the free version is like our marketing. And, you know, we certainly appreciate when people upgrade, because we've put a lot of work onto it and we have to eat. But the free version is kind of our marketing.
Scott Rothstein, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, he's the president of Software 995. And they're best known as the PDF995.com people. But they've, you know, really grown over the years, and they have a whole suite of other products, not even relating to PDF. We'll talk about that in seconds on TechWatch Radio from the Accent Radio Network.
What's in your water? It's not a trick question. You don't know? The old saying, what they don't know won't hurt them, seems to be done out of love, but in reality, it's a distortion of the truth. And truthfulness is what we base our relationships on. Wouldn't you want someone to warn you when you're about to bring harm to yourself? Of course you would. What you may not be aware of, what's in your water, can and will hurt you. That's one of the many reasons Daniel Chapter 1 has developed the WaterClean FRS system. This one-of-a-kind water filter, with a little help from the guys at NASA, removes fluoride, chlorine, pesticides, heavy metals. The list goes on and on. What's amazing is that it leaves all the wonderful God-given minerals that your body does need in the water. You don't know me, so don't take my word for it. Look at the scientific facts at DanielChapter1.com and then go ahead and order. You can get it there or call 800-504-5511. Ask for the Emma filter. They'll know what you mean. 800-504-5511. Stanley, we have to talk.
Yes, sir.
Stanley, you've been with the company how long?
Almost 5 years.
And we've had some ups and downs, right?
Mr. Randolph, are you firing me?
Stanley, firing is such an ugly word. I prefer letting go or permanent vacation or even downsizing.
Sir, am I being downsized?
No, but I am concerned about your eating habits.
Excuse me?
Well, it's been brought to my attention, Stanley, that every day at 12:05, you're in the break room, like you are now, eating some garbage that smells like you scraped it off the road.
So, no lunch anymore?
Stanley, you're part of this company, and I feel that let's just cut to the chase. If you're not getting all the proper nutrients your body needs, then how can you perform to the best of your ability, huh? Exactly, you can't. I want you to march right back to that cubicle and log on to DanielChapter1.com. They've taken health and nutrition to like this whole new level. Their products are all natural and of the highest quality.
Yes, sir. DanielChapter1.com?
Right. Oh, and Stanley, that report I mentioned yesterday?
Yes,
well, if
sir.
It's not on my desk by 3 today, you'll be on vacation.
Sir?
Just kidding.
Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, he's president of Software995.com. They're best known for PDF995.com. They've got a whole PDF set of tools there. But their Software995.com is cool because they have a variety of products. We're going to get to those in just a second. But, Scott, you wanted to clarify. When we mentioned that there's watermarks and stuff like that or lockdown modes and some of these other PDF tools, and then we said, hey, but PDF995 doesn't have any lockdown mode or they don't have watermarks. You said that was largely true. You wanted to clarify that, right?
Yeah, I did. It's completely true that we don't put anything into our PDFs, and they're perfect. But one of the things you mentioned was that other products don't do that, and there are a few that that also don't do that these days. And I wanted to make that clear. But
okay.
What you'll find with those other products is that the dialogues that display when you create PDFs are filled with advertisements themselves. And
excellent. Okay.
That's not the case with ours.
And they're trying to copy PDF 995 almost. It seems like
they sprung
it seemed like you guys were a pioneer of that stuff.
But we still seem to be the largest by about a factor of 5. So we're not overly concerned about them.
Okay, software995.com is their main website, ladies and gentlemen. The reason I mention that is because if you watch that site, you'll see new products appear, I don't want to say all the time, but certainly quite often. And they have a bunch of tools that are awesome. They have Photo Edit 995. They have Backup 995. They have FTP 995. They have PDF 995, PDF Edit, Signature 995, Omni Format, Ultra PDF. They've got a tool set to register all their products. A bunch of them. Let's talk a little bit about Omni Format, Scott.
Sure. Omni Format is one of our most popular products, second to PDF 995. And it's a batch conversion tool. So let's say you have 100 JPEG images and you need to rotate them. That's what the product will do for you. Or let's say you've got TIFF images and you need to convert them to bitmaps, to BMP files. It will do that. Let's go a step further. Let's say you have HTML files and those need to be converted to PDF. It will also automatically batch convert your HTML files to PDF. So it's a product that's very useful on servers and all, but we also find that consumers like it when they're manipulating all the digital images that they've created with their cameras and stuff.
How much does it do with resizing? If you have a bunch of TIFFs from a camera and you want a really high setting to email them to anybody or do anything with them for mere mortals, you've got to reduce the size. Does it do that kind of stuff too?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. And again, you can use it for free, Omni Format, or you got to pay $9.95, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's all of those products I mentioned are free, and they're safe, and they are, they're ad-sponsored, and you can turn the ads off by purchasing keys. And, generally what people do is if they're going to use Omni Format or the other products is they buy a tool set key, which is $29.95, and that gives you access to every single product that we have.
And in other words, you pay for three, get the rest.
That's right. That's right. You get everything. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Yep.
One of the tools that I have found the most amazing is the FTP 995. I know this sounds really weird, but I'm a blind person and use speech for access, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And all the FTP clients I find, they're so graphical, so multi-pane, so... I don't know what you want to call them, mouseable or whatever, to where they don't have keystrokes, I can't use them, the menus don't talk. I have a really hard time with FTP clients. Believe it or not, yours is a delightful interface. It's pretty for the sighted, but believe it or not, it talks for blind people, and it's the only FTP client I can use effectively except for the console DOS mode.
You know, I'm very pleased to hear that. That's made my day.
And the best part about it is it has a ton of features, though. It does the encrypted FTP sites. It's got a bunch of features for automatic uploading and downloading of things. It's a very robust client as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a fine product. I use it all the time. I use it all the time. Another product that I really like, it's one of my favorites, is ePad 995. It's a sticky note product. It lets you, put a little sticky note on your desktop so you could type into it, and when you reboot your computer, it's still there. And it's sort of the thing that you would have imagined that would have been part of the Windows operating system all these years, but it wasn't. However, that product is going to be made obsolete in the next few years by Vista. But I would say for all those people who have not yet upgraded to Vista, it's a really, really useful addition.
Excellent. Software995.com, ladies and gentlemen, the website. Download, play with their products. They're free to use. And if you want to support them, pay $9.95, and you can do it. Thanks so much, Scott. We'll have you back. We appreciate it. More in seconds on TechWatch.
Exploring science in the sea. When they add fertilizers to their fields, farmers from Montana to Pennsylvania and points farther south can increase crop production, helping to feed a hungry world. But those same fertilizers can eventually make their way into the Gulf of Mexico. There, they may actually kill off the fish and shellfish, creating a dead zone along the Gulf Coast. Rain washes nitrogen and phosphorus from cultivated fields into several major river basins, which all feed into the Mississippi. Sewage and animal waste also enter the river. When water from the Mississippi enters the Gulf, it's laden with these materials. In fact, the amount of nutrients the Mississippi dumps into the Gulf has doubled over the last half century. The fertilizers are as tasty to algae in the Gulf as they are to crops in the Midwest. Algae at the surface gobble up the nutrients, then reproduce like crazy.
Dead algae and other organic matter sink to the bottom, where they're eaten by bacteria. The problem is, the bacteria, like other sea animals, also consume oxygen in the water. After a while, there's almost no oxygen left at the bottom, so fish and shellfish begin to die. That's a big problem, because the Gulf supplies most of the country's shrimp and oysters, which live on the bottom. The dead zone develops during summer, when there's more sunlight. It can cover several thousand square miles, from the Mississippi Delta to the upper Texas coast. It's a problem that seems to be getting worse, a creeping dead zone that encompasses more and more of the Gulf of Mexico. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. We're on the World Wide Web at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Jay Harrison, talking tech as always. We're having a good time talking to the folks at software995.com. Scott's the president of the company, and with us right now, they're best known for pdf995.com. They've got an incredible series of PDF tools. But before we get back to a little bit more PDF stuff, there's a couple of things I wanted to mention that they do, too. Their ftp995.com is one of my favorite programs, and it's just awesome. But one of the unique things about it is it supports the SSL secure connections. It has an upload, download queue, resume, keep alive, drag and drop, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, the reason that I mention it is because you can get a lot of FTP clients, okay? But the clients that do the SSL and some of the secure connections and stuff like that always cost a bunch of money, and PDF 995 doesn't. So if you have any secure need for FTP, I'm telling you, 995 is your product. FTP995.com. All right, let's get back a little bit to another product they have. It's more of a service than a product. It's called OpenOffice 995. And I found this fascinating, too, because basically for $9.95, you can get email OpenOffice support. And it's the only people that I know supporting OpenOffice. And so if you're trying to transition to OpenOffice because you say, you know what, the new Office suites are just too expensive, or, hey, I've got too many computers, I can't afford to upgrade all of them to Microsoft Office or whatever you want, it'll help you get a few of those annoying differences, you know, kind of responses of how to handle those or those kind of things. Right, Scott?
That's right. It's a great product, and obviously we did not write OpenOffice.org, and we don't take credit for it in any way. But what we do is we help people who use the product, and we do so in a very affordable way for them.
Have you had a lot of takers on that? Because I believe that's half the key to being able to transition, Scott.
I think that's right. We've got it's a successful product for us. It's worked out very well.
All right, let's get back to PDF, because you know,
sure.
PDF has been a technology that in the beginning was like, okay, it was one of the many formats you could use. It was big and a little bit cumbersome in some ways. They've done a lot of things to really let you adjust the quality to decide how big the files are going to be. They've moved towards, you know, digital signatures. A lot of forms now you can fill them out using PDF. There's encryption so that people can't decompile your PDFs. If it's a document you want people to be able to read and access but yet not, you know, cut and paste or do anything to, you guys have moved in that direction as well in terms of more accessibility for PDFs in terms of utilization for everybody, right?
That's right. Yeah, we've added several new features. One of them is PDF compression, and that's part of PDF Edit 995. It allows you to take any PDF, regardless of how it was created with PDF 995 or even with Adobe products, and compress them, which often can save you 50% of your disk space. So when you post the thing, your users can get the PDFs much more quickly.
Now,
and
the other
tool, which we've had for a long time but is very, very helpful to people, is Signature 995 and the standard encryption module. It's a separate download from the site, and it lets a user prevent others from printing the PDF or from copying text or modifying the PDF. That's a real popular product of ours, too.
And one of the issues, too, is when you do digital signatures, you want to basically lock down that PDF so no one can steal your signatures and stuff, right?
That's right. That's right. The digital signatures we offer use Microsoft cryptographic libraries, so you can be quite confident that they're bomb-proof.
Now, what's the batch print from Microsoft Office piece?
That's part of PDF Edit 995, and it lets you queue up Microsoft Office files to be converted automatically to a PDF, or, for that matter, you could send them to the default printer. So let's say you've got 100 Office documents and you need to print them out to your HP printer. This will allow you to do it. Although these days, when people batch convert to PDF, most of them use our OmniFormat product.
Because they really can just convert things quickly.
For.
Now, you also have PDF stationery?
Yeah, we have PDF stationery. It allows you to create a background graphics that you can impose on any PDF that you've created with PDF 995. So that's right. And what we do, when we do our work, we use it and we've got our PDF stationery, our PDF 995 stationery, and we impose it on invoices and whatever other documents that we're creating here in the office. And that makes me think of one other really neat utility with PDF 995. That's the stamp tool, and it's very configurable. So you could stamp page numbers, dates, confidential, draft, or any combination thereof anywhere on your PDF documents, specifying the page range, the location on the PDF, the color of the text, the font size, whether you want it to be in the background or on the foreground, and that's really useful when you're sending out drafts or things of that nature, or if you're in the legal profession and you need to bait stamp your documents. We do that as well with the stamp tool.
Okay, excellent. Now, you also have a simple programmer's interface for programmers?
Yeah, that's right. I guess that kind of, we didn't intend to do that. And a lot of this product evolved over the 5 years from what customers wanted. We're very, very concerned and receptive to what our customers need. And, within 6 months or so, people were asking us how they could control the creation of PDFs from their own applications, or if they wanted to integrate them into, some sort of a document management system or into their own work process.
Excellent. Hey, we're flat out of time, Scott, but we'll have you back. PDF995.com, ladies and gentlemen, or software995.com. Download products, try them out, learn more, support them. Their products are great. I use them every day and think you should too. Thanks so much, folks. I hope you had a great time. Without you, we wouldn't even be here. Hey, make it a great tech day, will you? Thanks.
This program comes to you from the Accent Radio Network, copyright 2006. To order a copy of the show, go online to accentradio.com.